This morning I want to spend some time looking at what it means to believe and to confess Jesus Christ. And there are two passages we're going to focus on. They're only a few pages apart in the New Testament. The first is in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, which is on page 1027 in the Church Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 13. The Apostle Paul writing says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." And then about 20 pages in your Bible before that, in Romans chapter 10, it's on page 1007. 2 Romans chapter 10, verse 8. "But what does it say?" That is the scripture. "The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's briefly pray once again. Lord, we ask, give us understanding of your word. Give us understanding of your plans and your purposes in Jesus Christ. And give us, Lord, hearts to believe and mouths to confess the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Come by your Spirit and enlighten us this morning, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It is a fairly commonly held opinion today that Christianity, or for that matter any religion, is preeminently a private matter. I've had people say to me, "That's what you believe. I don't believe that, and I don't want to hear what you have to say." It's a private matter. It's a personal opinion. Keep it to yourself. The suggestion then is made sometimes that if you then try to impose your opinion and your beliefs and convictions upon someone else, then that smacks of extremism. That is a gross misunderstanding of the Christian gospel. It is quite foreign to what the Bible teaches us, because the Bible teaches us that when a person becomes a Christian, what they believe about Christ and what they say and what they confess and they proclaim will be the same. What they believe and what they speak. And if they do believe these things, they will and must speak. They will confess Jesus Christ. Real Christianity is about what you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. It's not just a private opinion. It is your opinion, it is, but it is far more than that. It is a conviction. It is a persuasion of the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Now this morning we're going to hear later on two testimonies of two ladies who have become Christians, who are intent on being baptized and professing their faith in Christ in that manner and becoming members of this church. But I want to consider what they are doing and what every Christian does in the light of Scripture. And I'm going to look at the Apostle Paul with you this morning, both his example and his teaching. And we'll do it briefly and I hope concisely. We'll look at these two passages in turn and then draw out a few implications for us. The first, then, we'll look at the example of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians and chapter 4 and verse 13. There the Apostle says, "I believed and therefore I spoke." He's quoting the Old Testament. "We also believe and therefore speak." Now, Paul is writing to these Corinthians in the context of the conflict that he is experiencing as a Christian minister, preacher, and an apostle. He's very conscious that as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he has this treasure, this gospel, this treasure in an earthen vessel. His body is weak and frail, and he feels the pressure. He uses these words in verses 7 and 8 and 9. "We're hard pressed on every side, not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." Now, you might think, well, surely he was tempted. If he was pushed to the limits, that's effectively what he's saying. Pushed to the limits, wouldn't it be wiser to shut his mouth? Say nothing and avoid all the trouble and all the difficulties that he was facing. He certainly is suffering. He identifies, and his quotation is from another man who is in a position of suffering, in Psalm 116 and verse 10. It is David. And David is the one who said, "I believed and therefore I spoke. And all the opposition that I faced made no difference to what I believed, nor to what I spoke." And Paul is saying, I identify with this man absolutely and completely. However difficult it becomes for me as an apostle of Christ, it makes no difference. I still go on believing, and I still go on confessing and speaking and preaching this gospel. I am not deterred to speak out and to proclaim Jesus Christ on behalf of God. He makes then open confession. "We believe, therefore we speak." How? Why? Why does he do that? Because he knows whatever happens, he has a strong belief, a strong faith, and a confidence that the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will raise us up with him and will present us with you. There it is in verse 14. Knowing that, here is God who has raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And Paul is saying, that was something in the past. That's history. That's a real fact. But also there is this future, sure certainty, that God will raise us up after we have died. He will raise us up with Jesus, who has been raised from the dead, and will present us with you before God, before him. And Paul says, that's why I continue to preach. That's why I speak. Despite being hard pressed, despite being perplexed, despite being persecuted, despite facing death almost daily, struck down, he says, this does not deter me. I have believed, therefore I speak. Now, there is the example of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Now, let's look at, secondly, what it means for every real Christian. Because it's not just the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 10, we here find the Apostle Paul, the same Apostle, saying, verse 9, that if you confess, you confess. He's writing to the Roman Christians, every Christian. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you can begin to see, we put 2 Corinthians 4 and Romans 10 together, what Paul is saying here by his own example and practice, and what he's writing to the Roman church, is there are two essential aspects to being a Christian, believing and speaking by open confession concerning Jesus Christ. A Christian is someone who not only believes in their heart, but openly, publicly is willing to confess Jesus Christ. And that outward speaking of the mouth is but a reflection of what you really believe in your heart. So in other words, Paul is contradicting what we said right at the very outset, that attitude that says, oh, well, Christianity is just a private opinion. Keep it to yourself. Paul couldn't keep it to himself and would not keep it to himself. And no real Christian will be able to keep it to themselves. What they believe in their heart, they must speak about. They must speak of this Christ, who he is and what he has done for them. And that's what Kathy and Dorothy will be doing this morning. It's not the only time they will do this, but it is part and parcel of their Christian profession. It's the pattern of their life. It's the pattern for every single person who confesses Christ. It's a vital part of our salvation. It's not that we are saved because we believe and because we then confess. We become Christians when we trust in Jesus Christ. But so important, so impassioned do we become about Jesus Christ that we cannot not believe in him and we cannot not speak about him because of what he has done for us. And that believing and that speaking is proof that a person has become a real Christian. Look at what the Apostle Paul says here. It's very similar to 2 Corinthians 4:13. Confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved, he says. So what does a Christian believe? What does a Christian profess? It is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. He has been raised from the dead. He makes all the difference. The convictions, the persuasions that a Christian has concern the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done for sinners in this world. Now, there are various ways of summarizing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not have noticed as you walked in, on our notice board there is a text at the bottom. It's in slightly smaller print, but it talks about, we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's a quotation from 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and 2. That's one way of summarizing the gospel. Paul puts it another way here, and says, you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That's another way of summarizing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you see, the key elements are there. The death of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the key person is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. And when you confess Christ and him crucified, or when you confess Jesus Christ as the one whom God has raised from the dead, you are confessing not merely those facts about Jesus Christ, not really what those events signify. Here is the eternal Son of God who took flesh and blood. He came into this world. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He took human nature. He did not cease to be God. And then he suffered and he was crucified on that cross. He was buried and on the third day he rose from the dead. And he's exalted now to that supreme place of lordship, of kingship. He has universal dominion. He has no rivals. The Apostle Paul says in another place, in Philippians in chapter 2, God has highly exalted him, this risen Lord Jesus Christ, given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue, you speak with your tongue, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now Paul's taking us a step further there in Philippians. He's saying a Christian is someone who believes and who confesses. There are a lot of people in this world who don't believe and don't confess. One day, every tongue. If you're not here this morning as a believer in Christ, one day you will, if you do not, while you are alive here on this earth, you do not become a Christian, one day you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Because that is true. That is absolutely true, what we believe concerning Jesus Christ. You see, it's a world removed from just a private opinion. This is God's gospel. This is God's Son. This is the creator of the heavens and the earth speaking to his creatures and declaring to us what he has done in his Son, Jesus Christ. The truth is, there is only one Savior. There is only one Lord. There is only one way of salvation. That is what God has done. And Paul says, what I believe, I speak, I preach. He's saying to every Christian, this is what you believe, this is what you confess, then with your lips, with your mouth, concerning Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved from your sins. It's the only way for sinful men and women like us, like you, like me, boys and girls included. It's the only way for us to be made right with God. It's interesting in verse 10 that the apostle says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Now what does he mean by that? Well, in the context in which he is speaking, he has been saying that many of his Jewish friends, perhaps even family, certainly the nation of the Jews, he said they're ignorant, verse 3, of God's righteousness. They seek to establish their own righteousness. They've not submitted to the righteousness of God. What he means is they've not come to Jesus Christ, and they're not relying upon his righteousness in order to be saved. Christ is the end of the law, he says, for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, if you with the heart believe unto righteousness, what you are in effect saying is this: I am trusting in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. If I'm going to stand before God without spot and without blemish, it's not going to be because I'm spotless and I'm without blemish. It's because of one who is without spot and without blemish, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to deal with my sin. He lived a life of perfect righteousness. And that righteousness has been put to my account. I am righteous in the sight of God because of Jesus Christ. Now, if you see, if you boast of your own righteousness, which is what the Jews were doing, if you think, I can save myself, I can present myself, I'm acceptable to God by what I do, if I try my best, if I'm sincere enough, and so on and so forth, what need do you have of Jesus Christ? If you can make yourself right with God, then you don't need Jesus Christ. So then why would you believe in Jesus Christ? What have you got to confess with your mouth about Jesus Christ? Nothing. What you're saying is, I saved myself. You see how different this is with the Apostle Paul, with every true Christian. Every true Christian is saying, in effect, Jesus Christ is the only one who can save me from my sins. He's my only righteousness. I haven't got a leg to stand on before God. If I were to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and present myself, I would be condemned. But I come in the name of Christ. I come trusting in Christ. He is my righteousness. Therefore, what I believe about him, I gladly speak. I confess him as my only Saviour. That is why it is unto salvation. salvation from your sin, salvation from the guilt of sin, the bondage of sin. You stand before a holy God, and you stand in his presence, and there is no finger of accusation to point against you because of your sin, because you're looking upon Jesus Christ. Your plea will be, Jesus Christ has died for me and has atoned for my sin. You see, if you ask yourself this question, if you were to stand before the judgment seat of Christ this morning, if you were to stand, as it were, at the door of heaven, and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Would your answer be Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone? I'm forgiven and I'm accounted righteous because of him. The door will then be wide open and you'll be welcomed. But if you stand there and say, well, I've tried my best, I've been sincere, I've done this and I've done that, the door will be shut. Because you have no need of Christ. You're presenting yourself and your own righteousness as the basis for why you should be accepted. You see, when a person becomes a Christian, what they are saying is this: God has rescued me. God has delivered me through his Son, Jesus Christ, from all my sins. I am saved through faith in Jesus Christ. That is what I believe. That is what I confess. That is what I speak with my lips, with my mouth. Now, if those things are so, there are some implications. Three things. First one to say is this. This applies to each and every one of you sitting here this morning. However old you are, however young you are, whether you think that you are a Christian or not, the question is this: what do you think about Jesus Christ? Are you relying upon him? Do you speak well of him? Is he the delight of your heart and your soul? Is he your righteousness? Is he your only Lord and Saviour? You see, Paul says, what I've believed, that is what I speak. If you were asked to do what Catherine and Dorothy will later on do this morning, what would you confess? What would you have to say? I want you to listen very carefully to what they say later on, because you will hear echoes of the things we've been considering this morning. If you cannot stand up and say something along those similar lines, then you have to ask yourself, am I a real Christian? The Apostle Paul is saying here, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Made unto salvation. It's Christ that they are confessing. It's Jesus Christ that every Christian confesses. And it is Christ who is the Saviour. And you see, you say, well, I'm not like them. I don't think I could say these things. But at what point does a person become a Christian? And notice my emphasis there. You do become a Christian. You're not born a Christian. You don't make yourself a Christian. You become a Christian when you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul is the preacher of the gospel. And what he says here in verse 11, we didn't read it, but look at verse 11. The scripture says, whoever believes it on him, on Jesus Christ, will not be put to shame. And then verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe on him. You call on him. And it's at that point when you call upon God and you believe upon Jesus Christ and you turn to him because you know that you have sinned, you've broken his laws, you haven't got a leg to stand on. It is that point where you turn to him, confessing your sins and casting yourself as a lost and guilty sinner upon Christ, that you become a Christian. And here the Apostle Paul makes it abundantly clear. No one is excluded. The invitation is to all and sundry. Whoever calls. As mentioned twice, verse 11 and again in verse 13. It's a universal offer of salvation to sinners of every tribe and tongue and nation on the face of the earth. It matters nothing. What matters is that you see Christ as Christ is portrayed. I've mentioned him. I've spoken of him. I've confessed him as a preacher this morning. The eternal Son of God, incarnate, crucified, risen from the dead, exalted as the King, the only Saviour, the only Lord of sinners. It's through preaching. Paul goes on to say that. Verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they've never believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? A preacher of the gospel. A preacher of the Jesus Christ. I can say this now because I am towards the end of my ministry here. In a month or so's time, I formally lay down my responsibilities as a public preacher in this place, as a pastor and elder in this congregation. But I can say, honestly, over the past 40 plus years, like David, like Paul, I believe, and therefore I speak. I believe in Christ, I've trusted in Christ, and I proclaim him, and I proclaim him to you, the only Saviour of sinners. What a wonderful thing it would be if some of you young children, young people, those of you who have come as friends of Dorothy and Catherine, who have not yet believed, if you came to faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, nothing would bring greater joy to my heart to know that that is the case. That's what I live for. That's what I preach for. And so, there's implications for each one of us here this morning. There's implications for every preacher of the gospel, but there's also implications for every real Christian, for every disciple of Christ. You understand that what I'm saying is you're not saved by an act of public testimony. You're saved by Jesus Christ, whom you gladly confess with your mouth because you have believed him in your heart. But make no mistake, true discipleship involves the confession of the name of Jesus Christ to your family, to your friends, to your colleagues, to your neighbors, anyone. Peter, the other chief apostle in the New Testament, says, be ready to give an answer. How can you give an answer? It's from your lips, an answer for the hope that is in you. Be ready, give an answer. Know what you're going to say. Well, if you know Jesus Christ and confess Jesus Christ, that will not be a huge difficulty for you. The difficulty may be trying to answer some of their questions, yes. But giving the reason for the hope that is in you should not be a problem if you are a Christian. You're confessing Christ. You're telling them of Christ. And you don't do it in your own power and in your own strength. The Lord Jesus Christ promised his disciples they would, the Holy Spirit would help them and give them the wisdom. You go through the Acts of the Apostles, and there are Peter and John and the other disciples. They're being told to shut up, don't preach anymore. They cannot but not speak. They must speak. Whether it's right, they say, to obey God or man, you decide, but we know what we will do. We're obeying God, and we will preach Christ. And you will not be able to silence us. And they couldn't. They could not do it. See, being a real Christian is not just a gush of emotion. It's what you believe. It's what you think. It's what you feel. It's what you desire in the very seat of your being, in your heart. That determines who you are and what you will speak, the kind of person you will become, the disposition that you have. It will determine your behavior, your conduct, and what kind of life that you live. Whether you live for Christ, believing in him and confessing him, or whether you live for yourself. Who do you live for? Who do you believe in? Who is it whom you confess with your lips? Amen. We thank you, our God, for your gracious invitation to us as lost and guilty sinners, that whoever believes upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Lord, may there be many here this morning who experience that new birth and that conversion to Christ. Now we pray for your continued help and blessing upon us as we hear our sisters' testimonies. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.